Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Pinnell, for today, Sunday, November 3rd. And tonight's guest is Camille Friend. But before we speak with Camille, we're going to share some beauty news with you. And my sister Denise has the beauty news.
Good evening, everyone. Just very quickly, just have a couple of things. Save the date, Makeup and Soul, on March 13th and 14th. Makeup and Soul is the first event dedicated to the makeup industry in Asia. It's going to take place March 13th through 14th at the Conrad Hotel in Seoul, South Korea. And if you want more information on that, you can visit their website at makeup-in-soul, S-E-O-U-L.com, or you can email them at contact@makeup-in-soul.com. And congratulations to our friend Katia King for launching her fall 2013 collection of her luxury nail polish line called Misho. That's spelled M-I-S-C-H-O. Most people know her from her beauty blog, Misho Beauty. The collection includes 7 polishes. They are Invite Only, Lincoln Center, Empire State of Mind, New York Fashion Week, or Pound NYFW, Backstage Beauty, Front Row, and the Tents. And the polishes retail for $18 each. And for more information on her collection, you can visit her at her website at mishobeauty.com. Again, it's spelled M-I-S-C-H-O-beauty.com.
All right. And just for those of you who are listening, if you have a comment or a question, you can join the conversation tonight by dialing 914-803-4399. Again, that number is 914-803-4399, and be sure to press the option to speak with the host.
Also, you can join us. Someone in Jersey.
Hmm?
I said you had us dialing someone in Jersey.
Oh, yeah, no. It's 914, not 646. But also, you can join the conversation here on Blog Talk Radio in our chat room, as well as on Twitter with our tweet chat. And for the Twitter tweet chat, please use pound beauty lounge. Okay? All right. Camille, how are you?
I'm good, ladies. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Welcome to the show.
Yay! I'm so excited. I'm so excited to talk about my biggest favorite thing, hair and movies.
Say that again, hair and?
And movies.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Exciting conversation ahead. First of all, you're on Twitter. Tell us your Twitter handle.
Oh, my Twitter handle is Black Eye Venus. It's black like black, and then eye like your eye, and Venus like, you know, Venus.
Yeah.
And there's, I'll tell you a really funny story. I did this movie called The Spirit with a famous graphic artist, and his name is Frank, and Frank gave me that name, Black Eyed Venus. And he did so many different kind of movies, and he's really a popular guy, and he's a series graphic novelist and artist. And he gave me that, and he signed a book that I have, and he drew a picture of me, and he called me Black Eyed Venus. So that's how that came about. his name is Frank Miller. I should say his whole name. His name is Frank Miller. So
Frank
that's
Miller.
How that came about. Yes.
Oh. Well, let's start off the conversation by you sharing with our listening audience where you're from, how long you've been doing hair, and actually what inspired you to become a hairstylist, and just kind of bring us up to date where you are now.
Okay. My story is, like, really simple, like most people, but I'm from Tempe, Arizona. Yes, Tempe, Arizona. There are black people in Tempe, Arizona. My family's there. So I grew up in Tempe in suburbia. Nice, simple life. I came to L.A., oh, my God, it's been over 20 years ago, and I got my first license when I was in Arizona, like in 1980s. 86, somewhere in there, you know, now I'm telling my age. And I came to L.A., and basically I work for a guy who a lot of people know in the business. I work for John Atchison. And I've learned so much from John and about haircutting and just he's such a great businessman. So I worked for him for many years, and then literally I fell into the film business. There was no plan. People think there's a plan. Only plan was God's plan to say, you're going to go do some movies. So
right.
I literally fell into the business. But on the personal side, I come from a family of hairdressers, so I feel like hairdressing is in my blood. And it's what I love to do. And I always feel like my ancestors and my grandmother and just my aunts and so many people around me who were some of the past great hairdressers. So I always feel that energy around me. And I call on them a lot when I need them.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So here you are. And so how many years have you been actually doing film?
I've been doing film. I got into the union, if I'm not mistaken, it's 1996 I got into the union. And I got into the union on this movie called A Thin Line Between Love and Hate.
Oh, nice.
And I got on the, it was non-union. It was back in the day when they did a lot of non-union, and the movie just happened to go union. So we all became union. We all became union on that movie. And one of my dear friends, Louisa Anthony, had me come out and help her with, oh, my God, now her name slips my mind. Oh, what is her name? The actress on there. Now I can't even remember that.
Oh, Lynn.
Lynn Whitfield. Yes. The lovely Lynn Whitfield had me come out and help her with hair pieces and wigs. And that was, like, my first experience in It was on after that. It was on and popping, and that's how I got started. That was my first thing. I was in the union.
Okay,
yep.
So let's go back a little bit. Before you got into the union, doing hair, did you work in a lot of salons?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, I worked in salons. I told you I worked for, you know, the great John Atchison. I did platform work for Sebastian and, like, worked in a lot of different salons. I'll tell you, originally in Arizona, this is a lot of people don't know me, but this is a little interesting fact. I started out an extensionist. I started out in business, and all I did was extension. I worked in the salon and with the lovely, lovely hairdresser from Kansas City who moved to Phoenix. Her name is Joanne Moore, and a tremendous talent, and she taught me so many things about hair and hairdressing and, you know, being an extensionist. So I started out doing extensions. That's how I started. Go ahead.
How did your extension work prepare you for film?
I didn't know at the time that was preparing me. I think the extension work really helped prepare me basically for, like, especially with wigs, is the blending and blending their hair into the extension hair. Really be able to look at hair and match the color and really see how the color should be blended and how to blend that hair to get those type of colors. So I think that's really what doing extensions taught me, and I thank God because I have a good eye for that.
Nice. What do you think, in your opinion, makes a great hairstylist?
Well, people are not going to like this one, but a great hairstylist, I think with anything, it starts with loving and knowing your craft. I think from the beginning, you have to know your craft, know how to do everything in your craft, from haircutting to braiding to extensions to barbering to roller sets. Know how to do it all and be good at all of it and really, really know your craft. Know your color wheel. Know how what makes what. Really know your cutting. Like, take cutting classes. I suggest everybody in the world should go to Vidal Sassoon. Vidal Sassoon is still the greatest place to learn how to cut because they're going to teach you the basics and they're going to teach it to you really well. And once somebody teaches you something, you never lose it. So I think, like, that is really important. And I think the second thing is, I tell people this all the time, don't focus on the money. Just focus on the work. Focus on the art. And focus on being the best that you can be. And if you're not good at something, there's classes everywhere. Take them. Learn it. I mean, we have the web, dear God. There's everything on the web. So just dive in there and learn it. And I'm never scared. I have mentors that if I don't know how to do something, I'm calling you up and I said, I don't know how to do this. I need you to show me how. I'm coming to your house with the mannequin. What time can I be there? Like, I'm not there to ask. I will show up at your house with the mannequin if I need to know something or if I'm not good at something. I'm going to find out so I can be good at it.
Right. Well, that's great that you bring that up because there are a lot of people who will get on the job. They'll say that they can do something. They'll get on the job, say that they know how to do stuff, and they don't. And then now, you know, they've made a fool of themselves. They're embarrassed.
Yes.
You know, the people they're working for are frustrated and disgusted because you've lied to them.
Yes.
You know, now you're wasting time.
Yes. And money. Yes.
And money. So if you don't know how to do it, either you're going to learn how to do it before you get to the job or just say you don't know how to do it.
Right. And, you know, I think, too, like, if I'm really try to be specific with people and tell them, when you come, this is what you need to know because this is what we're doing today. And just know, like, if you're going to a job and somebody asks you, take it seriously. You have been chosen that day to work. So your job is to come prepared and be an open vessel to whatever those people need on that job, and that's your job, and to do your best.
Absolutely. Right. Now, you have asked the question, what makes a great hairstylist? What do you think makes a great hairstylist for film?
Again, it's knowing your craft, but I think the thing about film, the key in, like, some of the greatest hairstylists I've seen is they have a tremendous eye for detail. And just when they can see all the little details, because you have to think about that hairdo that you're going to do, you have to look at what does your actress's profile look like? What does her neck look like? You might have something planned in your hair, but if she doesn't have a great neck, you might not want to do an updo. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You might not want to pull that hair off of her forehead. Like, you have to take into notice what your actress's features are, the good ones, the bad ones, and just know you're going to be on a 60-foot screen. Your work is going to be that close and people are going to see it. We're not going to even get into the possibilities of it's on HD or it's on the IMAX screen where you can see every dot. So it's just important, like, the detail is really important. And I think the other thing is to absolutely be flexible because our business, what we do, things change so fast. And you have to be able to adapt and be ready. If you have to change the hair, you have to change the hair. That's just what you have to do. And sometimes you don't get a chance. You ladies know, they don't let you take your actress back to the trailer because the trailer is 5 miles down the road, and we don't have that kind of time. Sometimes you got to get You got to call the Grips and the Electric. I love my Grips and Electric brothers. Brother Singer, which is some power. And let's get these prototypes cooking, and we got to get down in the dark. And you have one of your coworkers is holding a flashlight while you're doing a hairdo.
Right,
that's what sometimes
right.
It comes down to. You know exactly what I'm saying, sisters. You know.
Yes.
That's how it happens. But you have to be prepared and flexible and do your best and don't be getting huffy and puffy and stuffy about it. You got to do whatever the production needs you to do, your director needs you to do, and your actor. We're all a team, and there's not an I in team, and we all have to do what it takes to make the production work and the movie go. That's what we have to do.
Right. Absolutely.
Yes.
Speak a little bit about when you're on a movie, and like you said, you know, we have to do what the director is asking us to do. When that sometimes takes away your creativity,
that's challenging.
How do you deal with that?
That's challenging. I'll tell you guys a little story. When I did The Help, I used to get emails from the vice presidents of over there at DreamWorks and at Paramount. Do you know what it's like to get emails from them? It's terrifying. And it does take your creativity away at some point, but this is what I always try to focus on. I try to make people happy, but I always try to focus on what is this work supposed to look like, because the reason you hired me is because I am a hairstylist, and I do have the eye for what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I always try to put that in the forefront of, yes, this is what the director wants, and I even try to talk to directors, because a lot of times directors – talking to them, they don't understand. A lot of them are visual. So I tell everybody, make sure you have, like, a lot of tears. Make sure that you have a lot of, like, books that you can show them specific pictures. And even now, a really, really great tool that I've just recently started using is Photoshop. There's people that you can call who will Photoshop if you have different hairstyles that you want to Photoshop on an actress and you want to show your director, they can Photoshop the hair on the actress so you can show him exactly how that's going to look. And there's great people out there. Oh, yeah. And, you know, it is the extra step, but it's so much easier in the process because you're getting – I'm always about being clear with people. And if you can show a director exactly what his actress is going to look like, you've hit a home run. So I think that's one big tool that we use a lot now that people don't talk about, but the Photoshopping is huge.
Gotcha.
Especially when you're creating characters. And sometimes people just don't have imagination. We're artists. We have imagination overload. God has blessed us with overload of imagination. But some people don't have the imagination that to visualize, okay, we're going to put this blue eyeshadow across the eye, we're going to extend the eyebrow, and then we're going to put this green wig on. They don't know what that's going to look like. But if you can visually show them what that looks like, they can be like, oh, that was cool. So I think that's a big part of, and that's one thing we do a lot now.
Gotcha. Maybe we should develop an app.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
That would be great. Develop an app, and we can we could play around and stuff like that.
Oh, I think it's great because it's something really that that people like. We use it a lot now, and like. A lot of directors, they want to see it like that. They want to see it formatted in Photoshop so they can really see what you're going to do to this actor to create it. It's used a lot. It's really important. I did a movie a couple of years ago, Rock of Ages, and for all our leads, we Photoshopped pictures so we could show the director how everybody was going to look. So it's important.
Is there any difference at all in doing hair for film versus television?
I think it's like a yes and no question. I think the basics of it is the same.
Mm-hmm.
I think the difference between film and television, I think especially now with the HD medium, and people who don't understand, I'm just going to explain a little bit, ladies, about how HD really changes how everything looks because you can see every pore. you can mm-hmm. see every tiny little piece of, if there's a lace front wig, you can really see everything. And people have these HD TVs. Like, I remember we got a new TV at home, and I was watching the HD TV, and I was like, God, why do these people look so old? Like, that HD is a beast. So I think in both formats now, I think TV used to be a little bit more forgiving, but now that we're doing HD, I think it's the same. I think it's the same rules apply, and it's about the detail, the detail, the detail. Especially now, a lot of television shows, you have big actresses. You have big actors and actresses coming to television. So, you know, they want the same treatment that they would get on a movie. So I think it's the same process, and you just have to respect it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What were some of your favorite movies that you've seen? Not necessarily that you've worked on, but that you've seen in regards to hair.
Oh, that's a hard one. Okay. I'm going to have to think about that one. There's a lot of movies that I love the hair. I'm a big period buff. I love period movies. Love period movies. Like, I'll tell you a movie. This is so corny, but I'm going to tell you it's the truth. Like, I love to watch Grease. Because Grease, I love the hair in Grease. I just love mm-hmm. to watch period movies. I mean, and, like, I love, like, I recently met her, and I was, like, in Scarface, that whole look of Michelle Pfeiffer, like, that round mushroom and, you know, like his little haircut that he had, all of that is iconic. And I always look at when I watch movies, like, what is iconic about this movie? What sets this movie apart that makes it different than any other movie? So that's how I watch movies, and sometimes I probably go too deep. But those are, like, some of the things that I really look at. And, of course, I'm definitely a movie buff, especially period movie. I cannot get enough of it. And just what I think I have, like what I say, I'm never doing another period movie again. You know, there I go with another one. So it's just something about it. Like, I just really, really love. Like, I'll tell you this. Like, I love old movies. Like, I love Betty Davis movies and Joan Crawford and, like, you know, stuff like that. One of my favorite period movies, though, is The Age of Innocence. It's a Marty Scorsese movie. That's, like, to me, that's the epitome. It's just some of the beautiful work. And, like, some of the movies, like Elizabeth, some of the stuff that they've done there, just incredible, beautiful work. And, like, I'll tell you a movie that's flawless to me, too, is What's Love Got to Do with It. I watched it recently. All the hair is on hit. It's so perfect. It's beautifully done. And that's what, like, I love about period. And when your movie can stand the test of time, mm-hmm. that's what makes such the difference. That's the big part to me.
Right. You're absolutely right. You know, like you said, you know, and even when younger people can watch, you know, like an old movie. When I say old, I mean a period piece, but then also not only is it a period piece, but it's something that was also done some years ago. And like I said, if it can stand the test of time, you know, you have some great work there.
Yeah, and that's what it's totally about. Like, I'll tell you. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I'll ask my question afterwards.
No, I was going to say, like, I want to give a shout-out to Toni Walker. She's one of the greatest hairstylists in this business. And, like, I've heard this story from other people, but talking about how she came up with the looks from Scarface, like, at the time, she didn't know. But, like, you know, 40, 30 years later, we still look at Scarface, and every kid has a Scarface poster with that haircut and all the And, you know, even like Saturday Night Fever, come on. Like, those, I just love those iconic period movies. I love them.
Absolutely.
I was going to ask, what is your best way of approaching research for doing period hair?
Well,
because when we talk about period, we're not just talking about the 50s or 60s or 40s or whatever, but, you know, 1980 is a period now, you know.
Right. When we did Rock of Ages, it was totally the 80s. Thank God I'm a child of the 80s. But I'll tell you, one of the biggest things I do, and I'm just going to say, you just have to know I'm crazy and I'm a freak at some point when I start researching a movie because I don't sleep much. But, again, I watch a lot of movies. I just, like, start, like, looking up movies that I want to watch that are of the period. And then also a great resource is people don't forget about yearbooks. If you go look at yearbooks and you look at, if you can get a hold of yearbooks from, like, if you know where they're going to, what the movie comes from, if it is a European, are the characters from Chicago, are they working class? If you can get yearbooks from those period, yearbooks are really great way to look and see and look at different people. Plus, also, like, there's different places where I go, like, that sell, like, old Vogue, like American Vogue, French Vogue, all kind of different fashion magazines. Like, I just go and I buy them. Like, I have some of these research books. It's disgusting. But that's like, where I really get into, like, researching, like, the period. And you know, you just get inspiration from all over. So, and I always, honestly, I always call on God and the universe and the Holy Spirit and my angels just to guide me and show me. And, you know, those hairstyles, they just come to you. Like, when I did Dreamgirls, I didn't sleep much at all just because we had a lot of work, and it was just, like, such, I was just, like, so hyped out all the time because I was just so into doing the movie. And just, I watched a lot of movies during that time, and just, like, I would wake up, and I would turn on AMC, and I would be like, oh, my God, I love that hairdo, Barbara Streisand in Funny Girl. That's it. That's the one we need to do. So I've always got it. Plus, I'm a Barbara Streisand freak. I love Barbara Streisand. But, you know, it's just all those things. Like, if you just ask for guidance, they just line up in the universe, and then all of a sudden it will really come to you.
So can we just stop right here at Dreamgirls and just kind of take us through the process? Because there are people out there who may be in the union, who may not be in the union, you know, who may be doing this,
right,
who may not, who, what was that?
Yes, go ahead. No, I was listening.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said something else. But, who, you know, who want to know, how did it happen for you? Like, you know, like, how did you get the job? When you got the job, what was the first thing that you did? And, you know, once production started, how did you go about it? How did you go about doing this show?
Okay, I'm going to tell you, Dreamgirls is really a great, great story for me. I'm just going to start a little bit from the beginning. When I was called about Dreamgirls, I was doing Pursuit of Happiness. I was in San Francisco, and we did Dreamgirls, like, from start to finish. Literally, Dreamgirls, they were auditioning girls for roles. So literally, we were doing hair, makeup, and wardrobe and camera test on girls, like how they used to do it, like the old studio system. So, I mean, I met these girls who were, like, the most incredible vocalists. Yeah, these girls are from Juilliard and from Carnegie Mellon. I mean, showgirls from Vegas came in, and they auditioned. So I know this sounds crazy. I would fly in. I can't remember what the day is, but I would leave San Francisco, and I would fly in and do the auditions. They worked with my schedule. They did I would do the auditions and do the hair for the girls who basically were auditioning for Dreamgirls. So I got to be a part of the, like, process from beginning to end. Also,
nice.
I'll say this about, I got to work with, like, one of my favorite directors, Bill Condon. He is such a nice man and has such a vision, and he's so awesome. And the third person in that equation is my dear, lovely friend, Sharon Davis, who is the costume designer extraordinaire, it's a lot on my resume. We do a lot of movies together. And her and her collaboration, it's just like, it's really one of those, like, we have like that special magic. When we get together, we can really make some shit happen. So, and I love like sharing what you don't get to do a lot as a costume designer. It's like when she's designing the clothes, I can look at what she's doing. So, and then I can start thinking about the hair. So when she does her sketches and she presents them, like, to the studio, because that's what happens when you're doing a movie, we do sketches and they present the clothes to the studio and everybody and to approval. I actually have her sketch artist sketch the actual hair that I want to do on that actress. So it's great that, like, especially when I work with her, you get to present the full package. So that was really exciting. And just working with a great cast and just, like, the hair budget was extraordinary. Thank you so much, DreamWorks. DreamWorks is one of my favorite companies. I love you, DreamWorks. They know I love them over there. They know those girls, I love them. And there's a lot of girls over there who are VPs and presidents over there. So they're really good at promoting women and being for women in our business. And I love those girls over at DreamWorks. They are a great company to work for because they're very supportive of the artist. And we have to thank Mr. Spielberg for that. You know, very, very supportive, very, very kind, and they gave us all the tools that we could use to make that movie great. And that's why that movie turned out great. Yep. That's why.
Wow. Well, while we're talking about period films, and I know you just spoke a little bit about Dreamgirls, I wanted to ask because you worked on Ray.
Yes. One of my favorite movies.
Yes, one of my favorites as well.
Mm-hmm.
You did Dreamgirls. You did The Help.
Yes.
Django Unchained.
Yes.
So I wanted to talk about, you talked a little bit about how you prepare, but talk a little bit also about the collaboration between the hair department, the makeup, the wardrobe, when you're trying to pull together a period look. And then I want to talk a little bit about the hair in each of those films.
And you ladies know this. Let's call us the Golden Trinity. Hair, makeup, and wardrobe.
Yes. Yes.
We are the Trinity, baby. I mean, and when you do what we do, it's all one doesn't work without the other. If you guys do beautiful makeup, if you don't have a wig on, it's not looking good. Or if I put on a beautiful wig, if the makeup is not great, it doesn't. You can put on a beautiful dress, if she has no makeup, the wig doesn't look good. It's all, we all are like spokes in a wheel. That's how I look at it. We're all spokes in a wheel, and we need each spoke to be aligned to make the wheel go around. So that's what we are together as the three of us. And one thing that's really important is, like, talking to each other and knowing, like, what kind of fabric is this dress going to be made out of? Because maybe I can mimic what the fabric's going to be or the shape or the movement of the dress. Maybe I can mimic that in the hair. Or, like, what's the colors going to be? So the makeup artist knows, well, I'm going to work with this color and that color, and then it's like, well, I'm going to do her hair this color, because you want it to all go together. You don't want to be one fighting against the other. It all should be, like, seamless, and we all just work, you know, and cohesively, and that's how the greatest looks come together, when it's just we all work together just to bring it to that level.
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, and the thing that I love about period pieces, it seems like especially when you're working on additionals, when you're working on a lot of additionals on period pieces, normally they tend to get in their wardrobe first. And then when they come to hair and makeup, you can just about visualize and see. You can just about see that period already, just when they step
you
into
can.
Their wardrobe. You can see it.
It is.
And then it makes what you do in hair and makeup really easy at that point.
Exactly. A lot of times the wardrobe, once you see the wardrobe, it's like the light bulb, like literally like the cartoon. The light bulb goes above your head. Ding, 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 ding. It all kicks in. And then you know what you're going to do from there. You're like, I got it. you're off and running. I totally agree. I totally agree.
It's just totally something agree. Awesome about that. But talk
we
a little
do.
Bit about the hair and Ray. You have some great actresses to work with.
Oh, God. Ray, to this day, is still one of my favorite movies. I'm serious. I know. I was like, it's still absolutely, to me, holds the test of time. Not only, like, you know, just working with the great actors. I mean, who knew that Jamie Foxx was going to be the star that he was? And, you know, when he did that, Jamie was coming off of his TV show. And, like, Ray was going to be the project. You know, that was going to totally be the project for him. So that was, like, really exciting. And, like, working with Kerry Washington for the first time, I mean, look at what a star she is now, you know. And so many different people in that movie. It was, like an incredible, incredible, incredible experience. And still to this day, one of my favorite directors is Taylor Hackford. He's, like, he's to me, like, the godfather of film for me because he taught me so much about detail and, like, really training your eye. What we did on this movie is, like, literally, if, like, we were, a lot of the characters are real people. Not a lot, Camille. They are real characters. Most of them are all real characters. So we would literally get pictures of them, and we would blow them up, like, the hairline, the different parts of the hair, the texture, and we would put the actor into the look. We would put them all over the mirror, and we would go from there. And thing that I learned to have, you know, nerve of steel, Taylor Hackford would come and he would stand literally on top of me and how are you going to do this hairline? And I was showing the picture and literally while I was cutting, he was right there breathing down my neck. Mm. But guess what, baby? What a training. What a training. And just really training your eye to that detail. And that was really the great part that he taught me. And one thing else I learned in Ray is, like, as the Rayettes, how they got, like, when they started off, we didn't use expensive wigs. Because if you start off, and this is a movie trick. I'm giving everybody a trick right now.
Mm-hmm.
If you start a movie with a character who doesn't have a lot of money, if you start them in a $10,000 lace front wig, where are you going to go? If you start which started the girls, with not great wigs, because the Reyes didn't have money when they was on the bus. didn't have money. So we started them in cheaper wigs, not horrible wigs, but cheaper wigs. And so as the film progressed, so you could show some progression in the movie and you could show some depth in the character and you have an arc with the character, then we started putting them in better wigs as they got more and more money. So when it got to, like, the really this is it moment when they have arrived, then they have on the 10,000 fabulous wig. But, you know, just,
right.
That's just a little note that you can just do little subtle little things to sell it so it looks real. And, you know,
right.
Those girls of those days, like if you look at the Supremes and all of them, they didn't have no great lace fronts like we have now. Those were some bad wigs. Like, they had to deal with some stuff. Those synthetics back then, those were some bears. So, you know, I mean, those hairdressers have to put in some work. So, you know, if you really go back to that period and see what was really happening and you really put your actress in, like, that reality, it really can make a difference. Even, like, when they put on that wig, how they act, like, how they really, you'll see their whole body language change. When they get on that wig and that hair and makeup and wardrobe, you'll see their body change. I've seen people just change. And that's like, for me, that's like the magic moment when you see people, when they're feeling it for themselves. And that's when you know, I always think, they could give that Oscar-winning performance today. And I got to be a part of it. That's why I do what I do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What about the help?
The help. The thing about The Help, which was interesting for me, is The Help was such a beloved book. That was really hard because people were like, I would go into the chat room with people like, well, this character is supposed to look like this, and this is supposed to look like this, and they need to do that. And it was like, oh, my God, because so many people had read the book and they loved the characters. So that was the first time I really had that experience where, okay, we really got to stay close to the book, and we really got to do this in a certain vein. So people won't be want to kill us, that they'll actually want to see the movie and take in the movie. So that was a big part of the help, because the part that that Emma played, Skeeter, in the book, she had this bad curly hair. And I said, well, this is tricky. It, ladies, you know what I'm saying, because we're thinking about the 60-foot screen here.
Mm-hmm.
If you put her in a crazy wig, it's either going to look like a Saturday Night Live skit, because you don't want it to be funny. This is a movie about civil rights. Or
right.
You've got to give something that looks good on her and looks believable. It still can be, you know, like slightly off in certain ways, but it's like you have to really walk the fine line, because her hair was like a big issue. That was like because the hair was really, and I even saw the girl who the actual character was written about, and she had like some coarse curly hair, and I was like, oh no, we can't put that kind of hair on camera, because this kind of looks like a Saturday Night Live skit. Like we're trying to be funny. This is not bad.
Right,
right. It's a civil rights movie, so we can't go there. So, you know, we had to find, like, the middle ground on something that was going to read, but something that was going to be true to the character, but something that's going to be right for the actress in the look of the movie, and something that she felt comfortable in to give her best performance also.
Right.
Right.
Go ahead. I'm listening.
Oh, I was going to say, I read the books,
yes.
And then I saw the movie.
Uh-oh.
Every character in the movie was exactly how I envisioned it when I was reading the book. Like, there was not one little thing about hair or makeup that I said, no, that's just not how I saw it or how I pictured it. It was just perfect to me. And it allowed me, because normally, you know how we do, we'll go to movies and we'll nitpick at every little thing. Oh, the makeup
right.
this, the hair that. I sat in the movie, I started watching the movie, didn't even think twice about hair and makeup.
That's really
I got
cute.
So lost into the story.
Oh, you know, I have to say, the help is something I'm really proud of. And let me tell you guys something. People talk about how actresses,
mm-hmm.
how they do movies and they don't get along. Let me tell you something about all those ladies. All those ladies were like a force to be reckoned with. Everybody, it was like the sisterhood. Everybody was phenomenal, loving, kind, helpful, thoughtful. And just all the women talked. Like, people talked on that movie. Like, women talked. Like, Sissy Spacek, like, she's such a pioneer in our business. And we talked to her about raising kids in this business. How do you be an actress? How do you stay married? Like, she broke it all down to us. Like, so it was really great that we all got to share that experience and really talk as women and really bond during that movie. That's one of the greatest parts about that movie. And then for me, I have to be honest, for me it was like Octavia Spencer doing her the night of the Academy Awards when she did her Academy Award. I flew in from Django to do her hair that day on Sunday. I flew in Sunday morning and flew out Sunday afternoon to do her hair for the Academy Awards.
Mm.
And when I found out she won, I was getting on the plane and I just screamed.
Wow.
So it was one of those things for me, which you don't like have that like sometime from start to finish. I got to be with her through the whole process. So I
right.
feel so to be there, like I did her hair for the Academy Awards and I did her hair for the Golden Globe when she won. So it was really nice to have that whole complete process with that movie and have that experience with her. And what a wonderful
right.
lady she is. Yeah.
Nice.
Django?
What do you think about, I'm going to ask about Django in a minute, but what do you think
okay.
about, because I just thought about this. You know, I see it a lot. I guess with the makeup, I see it. I guess I haven't really paid attention to it, so I don't know if there are projects out there that's like this. But you know how there's a period, a film that's taking place, and I'm trying to think of the one that they just did the remake of, the last Whitney Houston was in.
Oh, the
Sparkle.
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 Yeah, Sparkle.
Okay. Yeah. What do you think about films like for this particular, the latest version of Sparkle, they wanted a more modern day twist on the period look. I know for sure with the makeup, I'm not too sure with the hair. But what do you think about those type of films that they want a modern day twist on what's supposed to be period? And I guess
I know.
You know where I'm going with this.
I know. Okay.
What do you think about that?
Oh, it's very difficult. Okay. You have on the side of directors look at period movies, and this is, I'm just going to tell you what it is. You know why they want it to look modern? They don't feel like the actresses look sexy. That's what it is. I'm going to just put it out there what it is. So I have been asked to modernize a period. And you know what? You have to kind of do what your director wants you to do, what the studio wants you to do. And
right.
This is the thing as an artist. You don't have to lose your period, but you can soften the period just to make it look a little easier to the eye. And it's
right.
just like, you know, it's just it. Maybe it's just a softer S pattern. Maybe it's not as short in the nape, but still keeping the style and the shape. Because this is what happens also. And you know, and I go to these union meetings, like for different movies, especially in L.A. where we have what we call the bake-off for the Academy Award to decide who's going to, you know, be in for hair and makeup. Like period people, if the period don't look right, people will hold people's feet to the fire. Like that eyeliner wasn't winged out. But the thing about it is people are doing their jobs because they're doing what the director asked them to, what the studio asked
right.
them to. So I don't think that is necessarily wrong. I just think, again, we have to use the word. It's called flexible. We have to
right.
be flexible. And this is what they ask of us. And trust me, I know it's hard because I've been asked, does it have to be so period? Well, That's the thing about period. What sells period? Hair, makeup, and wardrobe. Let's talk about the
mm-hmm.
Trinity. That's what sells period.
There we go.
So,
right.
yeah, it's tricky, but, you know, it's a fine line. You just have to walk it. It's a fine line. I do have to say it is.
Just want to know your thoughts on that. Sometimes it's...
Yeah, it's tricky. Yes, tricky. Very much so.
Django.
Django. Django. Django definitely was a labor of love. I gave up 9 months of my life, which I didn't know at the time I was going to do that.
Wow.
I want to say this. To have the opportunity to do a movie with Quentin Tarantino, if you ever get a chance to do a movie, what a great, dynamic filmmaker. And he loves what he does. He truly, truly loves making movies. And I have to say, during the process of Django, he's kind of like, and I say this because I laugh when I say this, it's like you either are going to be with him, you're going to drink the Kool-Aid, where you're going to be crazy about movies. You have to decide you're going to drink the Kool-Aid. Because at first I was like, oh, these people are crazy. I'm not going to be doing this. But when I decided to drink the Kool-Aid, the Quentin Tarantino Kool-Aid, what a fun ride. Because he's such a great filmmaker. It's so much fun. And honestly, he really brought back a true, true love of film for me in doing Django, because his enthusiasm about making the movie and how he's totally in it every single day. And that's one of the great things about Django. Of course, getting to work with Jamie Foxx again. Jamie's a great talent, and I've worked with him several times now, and he's always just so kind and loving. And just to see him as an actor, how much he's grown, and he's so mature, and, you know, he's a man now. He's so sexy. His body is like an Adonis, you know. But you know, and just seeing him grow and mature, and you know, just being a great, great actor and working with Carrie. Like Carrie came in and she had like these great pictures from the runway, and like
yes.
So we took these breaks, and I oh, I don't want to misquote this. I want to say that it was from the Valentino show of that year that they had done the braids. And we took these pictures, and I was like, well, let's do it. And Carrie came in with those pictures, and some of that came from her. And just going in the moment. And Samuel Jackson's character also, like, Samuel had real ideas of what we were going to do, and it took a lot of testing to get to that look that we did on him. But it was exciting, and I got to make him several wigs and really got to know him again. And just the whole cast, like, just so exciting, and got to work with my dear friend Sharon Davis again. And it was just a beautiful experience. And having a lot of support from the studio again, the Weinsteins having great, you know, just a lot of support on that movie to get it exactly the way that we needed to.
Listening to you talk about your experiences, and I don't know if other hairstylists think this way, but I can tell that doing hair is art for you.
It is.
And
it is.
It just sounds like it's a big creative process that goes into what you do with hair for movies. And it really sounds like it's doing hair for movies. It's like a work of art for you.
It is. It really, like, when I do a movie, like, I'm in it. Like, I might not talk to my friends for 4 or 5 months, and they know I'm totally crazy like that because I literally live it, breathe it, sleep it. Like, it kind of takes me over. It's like an entity. I'm back to myself. But I have to totally engulf myself in it to really feel it. So that's just my process. And that's kind of what works for me, and I think that's part of what my success is because I do totally. I'm not a halfway kind of person. I'm not a gray person. I'm very black and white. I'm very decisive about my life and my decision. So that's exactly how I do hair and how I do movies.
Right. Who inspires you as a hairstylist?
Who inspires me as a hairstylist? I have to say, I'm, like, inspired by, like, there's a lot of people who I came up in the business with. Like, one of them is Robert Stevenson. Robert Stevenson is a great hairdresser. He's done some of the greatest movies. Like, I'm inspired by him. I'm inspired by, like, different ladies that I came into this business with, like Joy Zapata, and I'm inspired by, like, different young people. Like, I love to see what people are doing. I'm nosy. I get all in the business. How did you do that? What are you doing? Like, I just, and inspiration comes from everywhere. Like, I love to people watch. I'm very much a voyeur. I love just to watch people on the street. Like, what do they have? What are they doing? How did they come up with this? Like, I'll stop people all the time and ask them, can I take a picture of your hair? And I tell them what I did. And I ask them, what product did you use? How did you get to this? Like, I'm not afraid to ask anybody that because it's just always interesting to me. And, I love strange things, too. Like, I love the X Games. I love, I see hair in different ways. I see hair in motion. I see hair. I also like performance artists, like people who would play with fire and who bend their bodies. And, like, I love, like, all of that to me inspires me because I just love to see people creating and doing different things and just doing it on a different plane. I love going to museums. I go to museums everywhere I go because museums always inspire me just to look at it in a different way or how I can take it and bend it and twist it and make it look in a different shape. Or a different way.
Right.
Like I always think about that. But to really answer your question, like there's different hairstylists too. Like I love that guy, Orlando Pita. I think he's a brilliant hairstylist. I think Orbe is a brilliant hairstylist. I love Orbe. I love his products and I love him as like a master. Still I say to this day, still Vidal Sassoon. will always be one of the greatest hairstylists ever. I don't know anybody who will break the mold on that one. Vidal Sassoon was like one of our greatest hairstylists, and I have the honor to meet him right before he died. And if anybody hasn't seen that movie, you should rent that movie that they did the documentary that they did on him, on Vidal Sassoon. As a hairdresser, everybody should watch that. It's a great movie. It's out on video. And I got to go and meet him one night when they were showing the movie, and I got to touch him. I ran up there. You guys would have laughed. I kind of ran because I wanted to see the first one in line. I'm a nut. I wanted to touch him. Like, I get like that. And so it was great to meet him. And, you know, people like him who are just totally pioneers and who have set themselves apart in our business. And even John Atchison, I learned so much from him. And I just love to watch people, like, when they finish hair, like, how they move their comb and how their bodies, like, I have a whole different thing when I'm doing hair. Like, I make sound. People always say, you make sound. I said, I know, because it's getting really good to me. I just kind of make a little sound. It's just because I'm in that zone and I'm focused. I'll be honest, I do. So, you know, that's where I get my inspiration. Some people think it's kind of sexy. Some people don't, but really, that's what I do.
Oh, wow. What are some of the changes that you've noticed in the hair industry as well as in the hair side of the film business over the years? You know, since you said, I think it was 1996, I believe you said, when you joined
right.
the union. What is, you know, from 96 to 2013, what are some of the changes that you've noticed in the industry? I mean, you know, in regards to techniques and styles and how people are educating themselves and just the business of hair in general.
Well, I think truly what has changed, it is a real business now. I remember
mm-hmm.
back in the day, and I don't know if you ladies remember, I remember, like, if you did somebody's hair, they wouldn't really, a celebrity, they really wouldn't say who their hairdresser was or who their makeup artist was. It was all on the hush-hush. I don't know if you guys remember
mm-hmm.
that. And now people tell who their hairdresser are, who their makeup artist is, who their stylist is. And in our own right, we become artists who can brand themselves, who can create empires. And that's, you know, that's like a great thing. You know, that's one of the great things. Like, look at the Wynn product. Look what Chad has done with that product. Like, it's incredible what he has done with that product, and he's taken it, like, to the next level. Like, he is a celebrity-endorsed product, and he has taken it. He's a billionaire now. He's a millionaire. So I think the opportunities for us to grow ourselves as artists and branding and with product, I think, is huge now because you have a lot of celebrity lines. You have like, you know, you have Orbe, who has a great line. You have Frederick Fekaz, and
mm-hmm.
whose lines do really, really well. They're selling in Neiman Marcus. You know, you have, like, Kevin Murphy is another one who has a tremendous product line. Love Kevin Murphy. And the technology in his products is, like, I love his products because they're so light and they actually really go into the hair. And you can layer it on till you really get, like, what you really want. I love his products. And even, like, the Shiri Yuma product, the Japanese line, which you ladies know, they do incredible makeup. People sleep on their hairline. That is some of the most incredible product. What it does and their oils, they're fabulous. So I think that's one of the biggest things. It's a lot of it is that we can now be our own people and we can be out front and do our own thing and promote ourselves. I think that's one of the biggest things. Technique, I want to say this, and people might not like this, nothing is new to me. I think it's just a twist on a twist.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, yeah, we have had some improvements. You know, we have Brazilian straighteners. We have this and that. But it all still comes down to basics because is it, okay, it's a relaxer. Is it a sodium hydroxide? Is it a thio? what is it made out of? Is it a calcium hydroxide? Is it ammonia hydroxide? What is it made out of? Because it's made out of one of them if you're going to straighten the hair. You could dress it up and make it
right.
Call it something else, but still, when you get down, if you turn the back of the bottle, it's going to be one of those four things because that's it that's out there. So I think, you know, some of the greater things that we've come out with, the technology, the ammonia-free, like, hair colors, I mean, you know, a lot of those things, yes, they make our you know, our artistry easier and better, but I don't feel like necessarily anything's really new. I feel like it's just a twist on the old, which is great. I think that's the
right,
great part
absolutely.
About it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, it's technology, and you have these huge, great labs and chemists doing great things. Like back in the day when I worked at Sebastian, when, you know, Jerry and John Sebastian were still there and really developing product. Like, you know, some of the great products that came out of Sebastian during that time, like still, like you can't beat cellophane with a stick. It's still like a great, great product. You like some products stand the test of time. And I think, you know, that's an homage to what those people did back then. But then people are doing like a new twist on it. Like I just got turned on to, and I might be late on this too, a Goldwell color. What is it called? Oh, my God, now I forgot what it's called. But it's very much like a cellophane. But that color is incredible. Like the shine of the hair. I want to say it's illuminate, something like that. But it's Goldwell.
Mm-hmm.
And they took that cellophane to the next level. And that color is gorgeous. It's fabulous. So I think that, you know, the technology was already there. People just take it to the next level. But to me, nothing's really new. It's just just bumped up a notch or two.
Right. Right. And last question.
Yeah.
What is beauty to you?
Okay. Beauty to me. Beauty to me really starts, it's from the inside. It's who you are as a person. It's your character. It's your integrity. It's your spirituality. It's what kind of person you are from the inside, because that makes you beautiful from the outside. People who radiate, you see some people, they radiate. It's because of their beauty from the inside and their soul and their spirit and what God puts into us and the Holy Spirit puts into us. And I think that's what makes people beautiful, because I think it all comes from the inside. It's about what you think about every day, if you're positive, if you're kind, and if you just try to be a good human being and just good to mankind. I think that's what beauty is to me.
Nice. Love it. Well, thank you, Camille. I could talk on and on and on tonight. But,
well,
we'll
talk again. I'll see you again. I'll see you later.
Yes,
again.
Of course.
Yes.
But I enjoyed tonight's conversation. Would love to. Sometimes we normally go past the 10 o'clock hour, but tonight can't be one of those nights.
I know, and that's all well. And I'd love to come back and talk when my next movie is coming out. Let's just get on the promotion wagon here. Captain America 2 is coming out. Yeah, baby. It's going to be fabulous. Captain America 2, Marvel movie.
Oh.
Chris Evans kicking some ass, baby. So, and then I'd love to come back and talk to you guys when the Hunger Games trilogy comes out.
Of course.
When I'm
yes.
working on it. Yeah. So
absolutely.
I am here, and I am a friend, so I would love to talk to you ladies then. And I just want to thank all the listeners for listening in, and just all you hair and makeup people, just if you're not where you want to be, keep your head up. Just keep doing what you're doing, and know God and call on God and your angels to lead you, and you'll be there. And just don't focus on the money. Just focus on the art and doing a good job and waking up every day and being a good human being.
Because the money will definitely come.
The money will come. It will come. It will definitely come. And also, I'm on your tweet. I'm looking at it right now in your chat.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, so if anybody wants to ask me a question they can always hit me up on Twitter, Black Eyed Venus, or you can look me up under Camille Friend. And also, you can hit me up on Facebook, Camille Friend. If you have a question, you want to holler, holler at me. I love it.
Well, I have somebody in L.A. Whenever you do a movie in L.A., and you need an intern or somebody like that, I have a really great person with a great spirit that would love to be a fly on the wall, as she said in the chat room. Yeah. So.
Well, tell her just let me we know. We do a movie in L.A. We just hardly don't do it in L.A. That's the hard part.
Doesn't happen too much anymore, but one day.
Yes.
One day.
Definitely.
Well, thank you so much, ladies.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, of course, of course. So we'll be looking forward to you coming back and plugging your other movies and talking to us about the hair there and all of that. And again, like Camille said, if you have a question, look her up on Facebook, Camille Friend, or on Twitter you can ask her a question, at Black Eyed Venus, to get your questions answered.
All right. Thanks, ladies. Have a great night, everybody.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And for those of you who listened tonight, if you enjoyed tonight's conversation with us, please mark it as a favorite here on Blog Talk Radio and join us again next Sunday night at 9 p.m., same time, 6 p.m. Pacific. Have a beautiful and blessed week, everybody.